Good evening. The time is 8 p.m.
QST, QST, QST. This is N7IVV, November 7, India, Victor, Victor. Activating the Talk Here Amateur Radio Association General Service Net. This net is held every Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. local time on this W4VA repeater, which is located in Warrenton, Virginia. The repeater is owned and operated by the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association and uses a PL tone of 167.9 Hertz. That's 167.9 Hertz for access. If anyone listening would like additional information, please see our website at w4va.org. The purpose of this net is to provide a forum for general discussion and Q&A regarding topics such as radio hardware, computer software, antennas, operating procedures, activities, and other related activities related to the amateur radio art. Let's see here. I do have a discussion topic tonight, but I'm going to get into that after I do a few announcements. Let's see. A couple things coming up here. There's a QSO Today Ham Expo, a virtual ham expo, that some of you might be interested in. It's March 12th and 13th. Like I say, it is, as far as I know, it is completely virtual, and at least for those of us that are far away. But anyway, if you want to get more information on that, go to www.qsotodayhamexpo.com. That's one word, qsotodayhamexpo.com. For more information on that. Again, that's March 12th through 13th, and they've got a lot of interesting things there that looks like they're going to have covered. So, let's see. Another thing, contests and things coming up here for this coming weekend that you might want to check out. The Vermont QSO Party is going to be held. The Minnesota QSO Party will be held, and the British Columbia QSO Party will be going on this weekend at various times. There's a 1010, I guess, international winter contest, which is a single sideband. 1010 is a group who operates on 10 meters, and of course they'll talk to pretty much anybody, but it's a special interest group. Mexico RTTY international contest, F9AA Cup CW. I think the things that are probably most interesting of most interest to most people are going to be the QSO parties. And again, that's February 5th and 6th. And check out the website at contestcalendar.com. Contestcalendar.com. All one word. C-O-N-T-E-S-T-C-A-L-E-N-D-A-R. Contestcalendar.com. The topic tonight is basically discussing special event stations. Those of us that have been around ham radio for a while are familiar with them. Those of you who are newer may wonder what a special event station is. A special event station is simply a group of amateur radio operators, oftentimes a specific club, who get together to commemorate, celebrate, observe some event that has some historical or special significance to a specific area, or in time. Some of us are familiar with the 13 Colonies event that they hold every July, and they have people from every one of the 13 colonies plus three bonus locations that you can work. And of course, you get a certificate if you want it. And mostly, it's just kind of fun to try and make contacts with everybody. And, of course, you get extra credit for yourself if you want for working CW and single sideband and FT8 and even satellite. So it's a lot of fun for that. But then other special event stations may commemorate the founding of W1AW, the first amateur radio for the AWRL, the station for the AWRL. There are many special event stations going on around the world for different countries celebrating everything from the end of the of World War II or World War I to independence in this country or that country and whatnot. Well, that brings us to, hopefully, you folks have all seen the email from, I guess it was last night that I sent it out, so if you haven't seen it yet, please check your email. But Farah is going to be participating slash sponsoring slash running a special event station for the Cold War Museum over in Vint Hill. We had a presentation by one of the fellows, Mike Winchell, I think his name is. Forgive me, I'm probably getting it wrong, but Mike gave us a real good presentation on some of the stuff that they did over there. He's got another half that we'll probably do sometime later in the spring. But we will be doing a special event station, which means getting a special call, hopefully a one-by-one call, which is pretty common for a special event. And we'll be setting up over there very much like Field Day. And this will be held at Vint Hill, or used to be called Vint Hill Station, and a lot of history over there. And we'll be setting up at the Cold War Museum. And unfortunately, we won't be operating any of the original equipment that they use, but there'll be plenty on display. We may actually be able to set up multiple stations there. But that will run basically the first full week of October, the actual commemoration of when that station was put into place was October 5th, 1942. Anyway, so this is going to be, as far as I'm aware, Farah's first time doing a special event like this. So we're going to be gearing up. We're going to have a lot of fun. It's going to be very much like Field Day, except that we won't be running around the clock. We won't be running on generators and whatnot, but the point is we will be setting up a station there in front of the Cold War Museum, and it will be an event, of course, advertised and promoted to the public, mostly from the Cold War Museum standpoint for their activity, but also we'll be there to generate interest. We'll be advertising and whatnot, so should be a lot of fun for us to do that, and it'll be the first time that I've ever participated. Well, that's not true. I helped out with the 13 colonies last year, but it'll be kind of fun to actually do this as Farah, and I think all of us will have an enjoyable time doing this. And, of course, as long as there's somebody there with a license class that's authorized to do the frequencies, any of you can, whether you're a technician or higher, can get on the air and work. Even if you're not licensed, you can do that. But anyway, this will not be limited to just generals or extra class or whatever, so everybody can participate. Bruce, KN4GDX, is going to be basically managing the event for the club. If you're interested, send him an email. It's his call at gmail.com. He can get you going. There's also a good description on groups.io for the Farah group. And so that's going to be that, and WebEx is going to be the preferred method of communications for the time being. But there isn't going to be a lot of planning involved. There's going to be, you know, everything from setting up the station to, frankly, we need to make USL cards. So if anybody out there has any good graphics talents and whatnot, we will draft you into helping design and get the USL cards printed up. And then, of course, after the fact, we'll all have to put our heads together and to combine logs and lick a lot of stamps, even though we don't lick stamps anymore, but it'll take some extra hands to do that. And with that, I guess from a discussion standpoint, you can either ask questions if you have more about what a special event station might be, or share your experiences in participating one, either running one or even just being a participant from working the stations as we go. So let's go ahead and take check-ins. now, and then that will be your discussion topic for tonight. This is N7IVD with the FARA General Service Net. Check-ins now. Go ahead.
21HDUV.
KN4SPL.
JAX or KU.
AK4GG.
Kilo Mike 4, Oscar Zulu Hotel.
KO 4, Victor November Tango.
WP7RAV.
KU6AJZ.
KO4, Victor November Zulu.
KO4, Tango Utah Victory.
Okay, let's see how I did after starting out typing in the wrong cell here. K1HTV, Rich, good evening. KN4SPL, Bob. KX4KU, Kevin, AK4GG, John, KM4OZH, Gil, KN4, Victor November Tango, Greg, welcome, WB7RAV, Randy, KD6AKC, Mark, good to hear you tonight, KOV, Victor November Zulu, Charles, welcome, and KO4, Tango Uniform Victor, Matt, welcome to you too. Any other check-ins tonight? Go ahead.
That was Kilo Oscar 4 VNT, Victor November Tango. Greg.
Okay, that'll be Greg. KN4 Victor November Tango. Thanks for the correction. Oh, I got you there. Okay, so I just deleted somebody. I didn't mean to. Let me go back down the list. K1HTV, KN4SPL, KX4KU, AK4GG, KM4OZH, KO4 Victor November Tango. Greg. WB7RAV, KD6AKC, KO4TUV, and then there was one that I just inadvertently deleted. What was that one? Go ahead, please. Okay, we'll never know. All right, well, let's go ahead and get on the list. If there are people waiting in the wings to check in, we'll catch you in just a few minutes. K1HTV, Rich, how are you tonight? Go ahead.
This is K1HTV in Amosville. Good evening to all. Doing fine. Enjoyed a very beautiful day. I thought it was going to be colder and windier and cloudier, and it turned out to be quite a good day. I was hoping to get Andy over here, K1RA, to do some tower work, but we had waved it off because it looked like the weather was going to be bad. Need to replace a rotator, which has failed, and I've got a spare. It's going to go up. Let's see. I don't know if you mentioned the Eurasian HF Championship, the 2022, the second time it's been run. This Saturday, it's a very different kind of a contest. Google a Eurasian HF Championship for the rules. It only runs for between 07 Zulu and 1559 Zulu, a period of, 0700 would be 2 o'clock in the morning until 1600, which is almost 1600. Which is 11 o'clock in the morning. So on Saturday the 5th. Anyway, it's the 5th. And the exchange is a radio either 59 or 599 on CW plus your 6 character grid, like FM 18 AP or whatever your grid is. The rules are online, and it's a very high turnout last year, and should be a fun contest if you want to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning. Of that period of time, you can only operate 9 hours. Okay, on the upcoming special event, the Cold War Museum event, I did operate as W1AW/4 a couple of years ago when the AWR was celebrating the 100th anniversary of W1AW. And it was fun to be a W1AW, and I got a little plaque commemorating that event with my call on it. And it was fun to be like DX, a lot of pileups, and it was on CW and on sideband. Also, as Brad mentioned, we both were operating as in the 13 Colonies event, which was a lot of fun also. DX-wise, we had a minor magnetic storm last night. Didn't last that long. K-index went up to 4. And then it went down to 1, then this afternoon it was up to 4 for another 3 hours or so, and then back down again. The conditions were quite good yesterday to Europe and Africa on 10 meters and 12 and 15. And things weren't quite as good this morning, but good to see the solar flux up in the near the 130 mark again. That's about it from here. Looking forward to the event. I'm not sure if there's going to be home stations or just the physical station at the event up on Vint Hill. I might answer that if you have that answer, or if you've even considered it. Back to Net Control. This is K1HTV.
Okay, Rich, thanks. Yeah, I see that Eurasia HF Championship on the list. Thanks for the question. I had a little detail that I should have tossed out. The actual commemoration event that the Cold War Museum will be doing is actually October 8th and 9th, that's Saturday and Sunday. But we will be operating at that location on those days. And of course, that's only during regular daylight. That's what I was trying to say, is that we won't be running around the clock, so it'll just be kind of a normal daylight type of an operation. However, like I said, the actual event that they're commemorating was on October 5th. And so what we felt would be appropriate was to go ahead and start our special event stations running by working from home, you know, to have bodies volunteered and assigned for different time slots, different frequencies, different modes to work from home so that, you know, we can actually say that we operated on the actual day, I guess, is part of it. By the way, CW will be concentrated on, will be emphasized, I should say, because that is what the Vint Hill Station was concentrating on mainly back in those days. And we have some very accomplished CW operators that will be, we're helping with that. But, of course, we'll also be working every other mode that we can gracefully do, especially from home. During the Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I think, are the days we're probably going to work from home. But we'll see as that progresses. So anyway, thanks for the reminder there. So both home and on-site, the day, the 8th and 9th, we'll probably only be working on-site. So there you go. KN4SPL, Bob, go ahead.
Good evening, Brad, and all of the net. This is KN4SPL. Yeah, about the special event station, I was very happy to see that this morning. I'm really looking forward to participating somehow in that event. I really do like working the special event stations. I know a lot of them are over the summer. I really enjoy the Route 66 special events and the Indianapolis 500. And I also really do like the Lighthouse LODA, I guess, Lighthouse on the Air. But yeah, I do like participating in that too. So those are always fun. So I'm very looking forward to that. At least for any personal achievements, I finally, through QRZ, got my worked all states, Hawaii station finally confirmed ACUSO, so I finally got my worked all states, so I'm very happy to finally get that achievement, so yay on that. That's about all I got tonight, so N7IVV from KN4SPL, back to net.
Well, congratulations. That's a wonderful accomplishment. That's a lot of fun. Hopefully you either got or are getting a certificate. That'll be fun to hang on your wall. And so, good job. You said something else. Oh, Lighthouse is on the air. Yeah, that's kind of cool. It'd be kind of fun to be in one of the stations working them and go around and do that. Maybe that's what you were talking about. So, anyway, that's good job. Let's see. Kevin, KX4KU, go ahead.
N7IVV, KX4KU in the net. Good evening, Brad. Thanks for being in the net tonight. Honestly, I don't have that much to add to tonight's discussion. I've been doing a bunch of other things. Did today's CWT, and even with the, I was a little worried about the geomagnetic storm myself, but it seems it didn't really seem to bother me that much. Made a bunch of contacts on 15 meters and those kind of things. So I was pretty happy. I didn't do well score wise because in the middle I switched to the rig pie to see how it worked locally. Something I've been meaning to try to do, and I finally got around to doing it. So, other than that, I will turn it back over to you. N7IBZ, KX4Q, back tonight.
Okay, well, very good. Don't always have to have everything going on. And, I know you've been working on antennas and rigs and whatnot, so that's good. AK4GG, John, I got a tickle out of your comment about propagation. I don't know why we can't, don't most well-to-do amateur radio clubs have a couple of nukes just laying around that they can use to enhance propagation? I don't know. AK4GG, N7IVV, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Brad and the rest of the group. Yeah, so I apologize for that. I was just feeling a bit cheeky at the time. Thanks for taking the net, Brad. I've been a member on and off of the Cold War Museum. It's just down the road from me. It's well worth a visit. I think it's still free to go in and have a look around. They've got some flight suits and some other memorabilia there off the Cold War. Had quite a few talks there from different guys, including, I think it's the son or the grandson of Gary Powers, the U-2 pilot. So that's quite interesting to listen to some of that stuff. And, I'm looking forward to contributing. It's just down the road, so I've got no excuse. I can't do CW worth a darn, but I could do some phone. I'm not sure I assume, Brad, that you'll be bringing your military vehicle and parking it outside and making the place look militaristic. That would be good. And I guess it's more of a careful arrangement with not too much drinking of cheeky medicines and that kind of thing. But I'd be interested in participating. Nothing much else happening with me today. This week, basically just accumulating a whole bunch of components off eBay and DigiKey and Mouser to build up some RF amplifiers. I've been humming and hawing about this for a while, so it's a kind of a good activity to do indoors when it's cold. So, nothing much else to report. Back to the net. N7IVV, AK4GG.
Okay, John, well, no need to apologize about being cheeky. I, as you folks all know, have a pretty good sense of humor. I know that irritates a few people, but, oh well, better that than being an old sourpuss, I guess, but I thought about bringing my truck. It's obviously 20 years or 25 years too new for that, but hey, what the heck. If we set up a second station, then maybe I will do that. Of course, I may drive it up there just to drive it. I need to get it out and drive it around. I haven't done much of it this winter. There was something else I was going to say related to that, the thought occurs to me, and I guess I should open this up for anybody that needs it, but you know what, as this COVID thing does whatever it's doing, and we're all kind of dealing with the new normal and whatnot, we probably need to figure out some way to be more normal, and the thought occurs to me, John, and like I say, anybody else, that maybe what we could do as a club activity is come over and help you get some antennas up outside or whatnot. A lot of that stuff is just not that hard, but it kind of tends to be a little overwhelming when you're all by yourself, and a few hands make for easier and more enjoyable work. So, I throw that out as a thought. Of course, I'd offer my own services too. You know, it's no reason I can't come over and give you hands. So, anyway, like I say, you or anybody else who would like to do that, I should toss some emails over to the board, I guess, just board at w4va.org, and that's something we could throw onto our social calendar, if you will. KM4OZH, Gil, you never need any help with your antennas, and besides, if you do, you can come to us. Go ahead, N7IVV.
N7IVV, this is KM4OZH. Oh, I always need help with antennas. Some of them just aren't all that big. But anyway, Yeah, as far as the special event station, yeah, I'm definitely interested in that. So I will throw my hat in the ring for whatever I can contribute. And that sounds like a great idea. And let's see, a little bit of exciting news on my end here. ARRL has posted the raw scores for the January VHF contest. And as it seems, I am high score in Roanoke District, high score in Southeast Region, which is a first for me, and a ninth overall. So I'm pretty content and happy with how it looks at this point. Unless they take away an awful lot of contacts from me, then that may be good. And I certainly, once again, thanks to all the FARA members for the QSOs in that contest, because there was a bunch of them, and also for the weather reports that helped keep me out of snow trouble. So that's what I got for this evening. So I'm just welling over that, and that's all I got. KM4OZH back to net.
Well, congratulations on that potential high scores there. I'm sure that will come through for you just fine. I'll have to get on there and scrounge up where the scores are just to see myself published someplace since I actually submitted some numbers, although it would be way down the list. Let's see, where are we? KF4BNT, Greg, how are you tonight? Introduce yourself and say hi. I'm 7IBB.
Hey, good evening, Brad, and good evening to all of you there on the net. I'm very new to the ham radio art, and I'm in Fredericksburg, Virginia. We're just online tonight looking for any nets that might be operating tonight. Being new, each time I get on, I learn something new. So we're sitting here with the handheld hooked up to the new J-pole I just finished. I've got it sitting out on the deck, and I said, well, let me see what receivers I can get tonight. And so anyway, I'm glad I wound up here. It sounds like a good night. I'm still learning about the events that ham radio operators get involved with. And so anyway, just glad to be here, and thank you, Brad, and I'll turn it back over to Net Control. This is KO4VNT.
Okay, Greg, well, welcome to the hobby. Thanks for checking in tonight. And all things considered, you got a real good signal. You got some hits, but very readable. And the audio was pretty good, so you're doing real well from a J-pole there on a handheld from Fredericksburg. So anyway, welcome tonight. And by all means, stop in anytime. We do this Wednesday and Sunday nights at 8 p.m. here on this repeater. So check in and say hi again. WB7RAV, Randy, how are you at tonight? Go ahead. He didn't say in and out, so he must be hanging. WB7RAV, Randy, go ahead.
Picked up the wrong mic. It's WB7RAV in the net. Nothing much going on here. I was out of town last week and checking out things around the house that may have been damaged by the storm and whatnot, but haven't found any damage yet. But there's still the last few things to check. Congratulations, Gil. Very good. And I've got nothing else from that. N7IBV, back to you. Over.
Okay, Randy. Well, thanks for stopping in, and thanks for chatting. I know a lot of times you're just in and out, but always good to have you, and it's good to hear from you, too. Let's see, where are we? KD6AKC, Mark, what you doing tonight? You down, where are you tonight? You down at the lake, or are you someplace less interesting? Go ahead. Need to grab the wrong mic, too. KD6AKC and 7IVV, go ahead. Okay, well, we'll see if we can pick him up here in a little bit. KO4TUV, Matt, in Oaksville. How are you tonight? Give us a comment there.
And 7IVV, KO4TUV. Yeah. I'm just hanging out over here, seeing what's up with you guys. Cloning some tomatoes. I started them from seed last year, but I think this will be a little easier, make it a little quicker. No, I don't really have anything to add to the discussion. You guys know I barely know how to turn my radio on, so if I can be any help, let me know. Otherwise, N79BV, KO4TV, thanks.
Cloning tomatoes, is that what you said?
Yeah, I got a big tomato plant under hydroponics here. I'm not growing it for tomatoes, I'm just growing it for four plants. There's suckers that grow out of the shoulders of indeterminate tomatoes. You can take those out and multiply them that way. And that way, instead of nursing them from seed, you can have them already started. All those little hairs on the tomato, those can turn into roots. So I have a cloning machine, so hopefully the roots will be a pretty quick process. But, you know, I'll have an update for you guys next week.
Oh, okay, great. Well, that's a lot of fun. T1HTV would probably be very interested in chatting with you. He does some hydroponics for vegetables and whatnot also, and it's always interesting to hear him talk about that. KD6AKC, Mark, did you make it back, N7IBV? Well, I guess we lost him. All right, that's the end of the list for the first round of check-ins. Anybody else wanting to check in tonight or recheck? This is N7IBV. Please call now.
This is KO4 Victor November Zulu. Chuck.
W8BV. Okay, KO4BNZ. See, now there's the one that I knew I deleted, but I could not think of it. So, Chuck, sorry about that. But thanks for picking up and coming back. And also W8BT Travis. So, Chuck, we'll turn it over to you. KO4BNZ, N7IVV, go ahead.
N7IVV, KO4VNZ. Hi, Brad and the network. When I saw the email about the Cold War special event, it really excited me because I've been a history buff and followed a lot of the Cold War history and myself actually have one of those Army certificates as a Cold War warrior. So I'm interested in doing, but just like Greg, KO4VNT, I got my license, I think, the same day that he did. So I'm really new at this. So I don't know what I can do, but I can lick stamps with the best of them. I do have new news on my own ham shack. It's about to double in size. A friend of mine in California is sending me a used HT to go along with the one I just received as a gift for Christmas. This is KO4VNC, clear.
Okay, Chuck. Well, great. Congratulations on everything, the new license and the new radio. I'll tell you what, you stick around the hobby even for a little while and you start accumulating stuff. That's interesting as I think back now, all the radios that I have had, and some of them I actually still have in totes someplace, and they're just more museum pieces than anything else now. But, yeah, you accumulate a lot of stuff. And stick around. Club meeting, of course, for everybody that's listening next week. I guess that was one of the announcements I missed. February 10th, and that will be virtual, I'm afraid, this time around, again. That's February 10th at 7:15 p.m. I haven't forgotten you, Travis, just a minute. And so, especially for those of you that are new, be sure and jump on there. It's WebEx. There's a link on the main webpage for the club, w4va.org. And we'll actually be getting ready to participate in the Virginia CUSO party coming up in March. And that's a big deal, and that's also a good opportunity for a lot of you new folks to get involved and start, you know, get your feet wet and start learning how to make contacts, and it's a lot of fun. Not a lot of pressure. You know, some people are really into contesting and really go great guns, and others just like to kind of dabble and make contacts, give out contacts more than, you know, worrying about their own score. But those people who are contesting hard, I always appreciate the extra contact. W8BT, Travis, good to hear you tonight. Go ahead.
Hey, good evening, Brad and all of the net. Not a whole lot here. You did remind me to send Bruce an email and say I'll chip in where I can on the Cold War Museum special event. I've enjoyed working a few of them over the years. John is closer to Van Hill than me, but not by a whole lot. I think I'm a mile, maybe mile and a half from it. So, and my first Boy Scout meetings as a kid were on Van Hill. My school bus, pretty much throughout high school, went on to Van Hill. So I spent a lot of time on that base. Never actually lived there though. But anyway, just getting ready for VA2P here, slowly but surely. Found a program by K8UT called FreakEasy that works with a Raspberry Pi to switch relays and stuff between bands. So hopefully by VAQP I'll have all my transverters up and easily switchable just by typing into N1MF. But that's about it from here. Back to net. This is W8BT. Okay. Fine business, as we say in the good business here. On all of your activities and whatnot. That reminds me, I guess one of my, along with my other things that I want to do, I mentioned Sunday that I want to get up or put up again another 80-meter antenna, get my 60-meter antenna hooked back up again. The problem I have here is that I literally cannot get any more coax through the hole in the side of my house. And I really don't want to cut another one. You know, even if by the time my wife realized that's what I was doing, it would be too late. I just don't want to do it. So I need to investigate an antenna, say, remote antenna switch. And so I need to look into that. I know Rich has got tons of them. Oh, you know, another thing would be interesting. Now, next week, maybe Sunday or something, or maybe just offline, Rich, is to discuss how to replace a rotator when you've already got antennas on it. I made the mistake, stupid me, a year ago or something when I put up my beam, finally. You know, I had an old ham four rotator, and I took it apart to do some stuff on it, and thought, you know, I really ought to replace the wiper on the rheostat for the direction. You know, it's just a variable resistor, and because it jumps around and whatnot when it turns. And I thought that I had it cleaned up, and it was just sort of stupid because I already had it apart. And of course, now the rotator is on the tower with the antenna on it, and can't really see a very good way to get that switched out and take it out and replace it or whatever. So anyway, it'd be interesting to talk to Rich about that down the road. Okay, well, again, I'll give one more call out for check-ins tonight or rechecks. This is N7IBV. Go ahead. Okay, time's up. All right, well, this is N7IBV, and this has been the FARA, Funky Amateur Radio Association General Service Net, which is held every Wednesday night at 8 p.m., on this local repeater in Warrenton, Virginia. And we do it again on Sunday. We have our general technical services net, and we always have some good discussions there on a more technical nature. Stand by. Okay, thanks everybody for checking in tonight. This is N7IVV closing the Farinet and returning the repeater to normal use. Have a pleasant evening and have a good evening and a pleasant tomorrow. 7IVV, clear.
7IVV, K1HTV.
Hey, Rich, go ahead.
You might describe your antenna situation. Is the antenna sit right on top of the rotator, or do you have a thrust bearing? Do you have a pipe on the top of it? Is it on a tower? Just how do you have it set up? Still there?
I'm sorry. I forgot that I just turned off the one-touch microphone. The answer is yes, 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 and yes to all of your questions. The antenna is installed in one of those rooftop towers, the aluminum, whose brand name I cannot think of at the moment. Rotator sitting on a plate inside the tower, pipe mast going up through a thrust bearing, and then, you know, on up with a couple of antennas on top of it. So the problem is, I don't have anything to support the bottom of the mast while I take the rotator out. And that's, you know, I haven't thought about it super hard, but I'm sure that I could rig some kind of a cross piece up with some clamps or something at the bottom there. But just wondering, you know, how you do yours.
On HTV. Well, there are two. There's a plate for the rotator, and above the plate for the rotator is another plate, and there's a thrust bearing. The lower, the one plate between the antenna and the the plate between the rotator and the top plate is will keep the pipe from laterally rotating, moving. It is kept in place with the thrust bearing at the top, which has a big bolt, three bolts in it. Normally, thrust bearing is not, the bolts are not tightened, so they just they don't. In other words, they don't hold the weight of the tower. Not until I want to take the rotator out. When the rotator comes out, I just tighten the three bolts at the top, and then remove the rotator. The lateral. What you might have to do, since you don't have another plate above the rotator, to keep it from laterally moving. If you have any kind of a way of running a 2x4 or something across with a U-bolt in it, and firmly attaching the either the 2x4 or whatever to some rungs on the tower, and then drill, you know, and you may be able to support, you know, put a U-bolt through the mast, keep it from laterally moving around, and then you can remove the rotator. But you have to be able to pin the, keep it from falling down. Now, if you don't have any way of pinning it, if you don't have a thrust bearing with three screws on it, you'd also put a big U-bolt on the top to prevent the mast from dropping down vertically. Is there any, do you think you do any of that ever?
Yeah. The thrust bearing is an actual bearing. So it's actually, you know, got three bolts that jam into the mast, but then it's a free spinning bearing outside of that. So, but I'm not sure that it could support the weight of the whole tower. I mean, it could for a little while, but I think probably the best thing would be to rig up some sort of a cross brace like you're talking about, either some pipes with U-bolts or 2x4s and whatnot. This, the way that these towers are designed, believe it or not, there's actually no cross webbing above the rotator plate. From the rotator plate up to the top of the tower is maybe 3 feet. It's real heavy gauge aluminum angle. And below the rotator plate, there's a couple of cross braces. Then, of course, the thing's bolted to the roof and, you know, a real wide stance. And, gosh, I don't know. It seems to me the thing will handle 10 square feet of mast in, you know, whatever, 80-100 mile an hour winds or something. And, of course, assuming you have it bolted to your roof properly, which I do. Okay, well, yeah, basically you've confirmed what I'll have to do when I finally do get around to it. It's not broken enough that I have to worry about it, but it just kind of irritates me that it's just another one of those dumb things that I knew I should have fixed when I was before I put it up, but didn't.
HTV, Roger. Well, rotators fail, so it's always a good idea to plan for it, to be able to easily take it out. Of the four, I assume it's a four-legged tower, so the legs go all the way up to the top plate. Do they curve inward, or do they just go straight across, and the plate is a large plate on the top? Over.
No, the legs are straight, but of course they taper, and it's an 8-foot tower, so the legs are 8 feet. Basically, the legs are 8 feet long, and four of them. And I think they're like 32 inches apart at the base, and then they taper all the way up to about 6 inches or something at the top. And there's a little plate up there, but that's also what the thrust bearing bolts to. And then, like I say, about 3 feet down from that is where the rotator plate sits. So the rotator is inside the tower, and then the mast, of course, goes up through that thrust bearing through the top of the tower. So it's really it's the same tower that I have up on the roof for my satellite antennas, but that's only the 4-foot version that's up there. This is the 8-foot, and that was, you know, that got me up high enough to be able to clear the roof with the beam. Back before I realized I had a problem with the gutters. And by the way, I've learned to, it works really well as long as I'm beaming over to Europe, you know, anywhere to the north and northeast. I don't have any problem at all. I actually do pretty well with it. So anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. N7IVB.
Pretty good. 21HTV. Well, if you could, can you bolt two pieces of angle irons to each of two of the legs? So they're parallel, the two angle irons are parallel with each other on either side before it starts tapering. Even if it starts tapering up, when you bolt two angle irons so they're across from each other, if you can, you should be able to then, even with a slit in it, put another piece of steel between those two with a U-bolt, and that'll take, it'll be able to take the vertical weight of the antenna. And also, you'd probably want to prevent the antenna from rotating. What I do, I have a nothing more than a, like a 1x2, 1x2, 1x3 with a U-bolt in it, and it goes around the mast and is tied to one of the legs so the antenna itself doesn't pinwheel. You got to watch out for that with the wind, and you don't want that to go spinning around and messing up the coax. Anyway, there's ways around it. Hopefully you can figure out a way of being able to do this, and because you know, it'll fail again. Something will happen. You want to take it down, so make it easy on yourself. Okay, interesting here that KO4QV does hydroponic gardening like I do, and I can compare some notes with him someday if he's around. N7IVD, K1HTV.
Okay, well, yeah, but I'm pretty sure you guys would enjoy that. I guess I should have mentioned that if anybody wants to, I know the folks are still getting together the last weekend of the month, I suppose, over there at Wegmans, which is coming up. Oh, no, that was last week. Duh. Sorry. Yeah, okay, well, I'll let you know. I'll keep you apprised there. Catch up to you on the radio. Have a good evening at 7IVB.
K1HTV. Yeah, I got to cancel because of the weather. I may be going to a PVRC meeting tomorrow up at Purcellville at Smokin' Willie's Barbecue. We're still having our in-person meetings, lunch meetings, and I usually get about 15 or 20 guys. So I will be doing it inside, and the last one I went to is an outside one in October. It was a nice warm day, and we did the outside. But this one will have to be inside, but if it doesn't rain too bad, I may end up even going up to there. Sippy talked about going up there also. Sippy's a member also of the Potomac Valley Radio Club, as is Andy and Wayne, K4JNT, and W4GO, and K4SO, a number of others are members of the Potomac Valley Radio Club, which is a contesting club. So, anyway, take care. Enjoy the week, and have fun DXing. N7IVV, this is K1HTV Clear. I'll stand by if KO4QV is around, still around. Give me a call. This is K1HTV.